Is today a scotch day?
Today's a scotch day. It's cold here. Hey, we have the Lagavulin.
Oh, you got Lagavulin too? I was going to say, isn't it Derby weekend? Is this like blasphemous that you're
I never even thought
drinking scotch?
We're back to scotch season.
Getting real fancy now.
Don't you bark at me.
Yeah, I can hear you, Murtaugh. All right, you ready to do this?
Let's do this.
In this video, we are not going to constrain our emotions. We are going to move some liver chi and possibly invigorate some blood as well. As we talk about the famous, or I might even say too famous, point pair four gates, as well as some other useful but possibly less known point combinations for moving liver and gallbladder chi. Because maybe you're a TCM hipster and four gates is too mainstream for you, or maybe you just enjoy having more tools in your toolbox. My name is Nicholas. I'm a licensed acupuncturist in Colorado. I used to teach acupuncture and herbology at a college in California, where I was also a supervisor in the student clinic. But now I just make videos on the internet. Joining the conversation is Robert Gitley, who I call Patrick, who is a licensed acupuncturist in Kentucky and has been practicing for the last 15 years.
I'm barely legal.
I think I said 15 before and your wife corrected me that it's like, oh, the clinic has only been open for 14 years. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm pretty sure you were practicing in San Diego for a while before that.
Since 2011, whatever that year is.
Let's just round up to 15. And so we've been doing courses like this lately, kind of in podcast format as a conversational thing. And I think this is a really good pairing because on the one hand, I feel like I really enjoy the academic side of Chinese medicine. I like reading textbooks, digging into the classics, seeing where things came from and really nerding out on that. And I really enjoy the teaching side of it too. Whereas you actually practice in a clinic and actually see patients. So I feel like that's a good balance of theoretical and practical. You've been seeing like 60 patients a week for the last 15 years. Whereas I like to sit here and be like, well, according to the classics, stomach 37 is actually better for diarrhea and not so much for constipation. And you can just sit there and be like,
sure,
I've seen 500 cases this year. Stomach 37 is good.
Stamp of approval.
So here I want to talk about four gates. And then I thought this would just be a quick, easy one that we've been doing a lot with herbs lately. So I thought it might be fun to just do something quick about acupuncture because I'm sure there are a lot more people who are interested in acupuncture. And I thought this might be a fun topic because this is very common point combination four gates, but there are alternatives to it. And this also just might give you a chance to go off about the Shaoyang for hours at a time. So we'll see how this goes.
And you know it's very controversial for me, four gates. You know.
Well, that's
you
what
know what
say.
You're doing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's how I want to start off with this. Is like, do you actually use four gates in clinical practice, or is this there? Is it too mainstream?
So to all the internet listeners out there, this is Nicholas picking on me because he has to listen to me bitch about a whole bunch of things, especially shit that they taught us in acupuncture school.
That's what I was going to say is that I feel like this is something that we made fun of a lot in school. And I'm sure there are people listening to this who are like, what's wrong with four gates? I love four gates. I use four gates on every patient.
And it's like, next, you can use Buddha's triangle.
That's what we're talking about. But yeah, I feel like this is something that we like in school, we kind of made fun of a lot. And I'm not sure if it was just we're in America and everybody's stressed. So it's like, oh, just do four gates and give them Shaoyasan. Or I think it went further to I've made memes about four gates and everything like that, that I think a lot of people just default to four gates. Or it's like, it's a sign that you don't actually know what you're doing, or it's a sign that you have poor diagnostic skills that you just fall back onto four gates every time. But sorry,
that's the hill I'm
going to
die on today.
Do you actually use four gates in practice very much?
So to be extremely transparent, I'm gonna start this conversation with, I would say every day. Like I do, I'll see like however many people a day. It's like more than one. Every day there will be at least one person that will have, amongst the other points that I do, large intestine 4 and liver 3. And so I'm not gonna argue that part. And it's like a thing that occurs. However, I'm getting ready to die on a hill talking shit about 4 gates. And predominantly because of that thing that you brought up, that I am firmly in a camp of acupuncture points. The ones that are useful for the patients are the ones that the diagnostic method delivers us to. And not like stomach 23 is not going to work on a lot of the people you see. But for that one person, it's going to be the most effective point. And just because liver 3 and large intestine 4 are always there and very famous, I don't think that they will work for every patient.
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking, is that as much as we made fun of it, I feel like now I do sometimes use it, but I do so reluctantly. it's like I do it and I feel bad, and then I feel bad when it works. Like I
think that sounds about right. Yeah.
I've said this about like when people use Bajuntong or Sichuan Dabutong. It's like, really? Like 4 years of Chinese medicine school,
and that's the best you can
come up. Best you can come up is like, oh, they need more qi and they need more blood. And then I occasionally use it and it works and it makes me
really
angry.
Well.
Cause that's the only emotion I have. This is another one where I feel like I do occasionally use it, but I do so reluctantly. And I guess kind of.
But I think you use it. Your reluctance is you're like, oh God, I don't want to do this. What needles can I put in this person without thinking?
Well, I want to say like kind of the middle ground that I've settled on is kind of what I said in the intro, is that this is famous and maybe even too famous. And this is a reference to, we had a Chinese teacher, an herbs teacher, that he would sometimes use this phrase talking about certain herbs where he'd say like, oh, Xuanzarentong is very famous for insomnia. I might even say it's too famous. And I think what he meant by that is that it's, yes, there's a reason Xuanzarentong is so famous for insomnia, but when he says it's too famous, it's like people just rely on, whenever they see insomnia,
right,
they just
insomnia,
automatically
go to
Xuanzarentong.
Right.
Yeah, where it's like maybe they have kidney yin deficiency and you should use, maybe they have liver excess. Maybe you should actually think more instead of just, anyway, that's kind of what I've settled on with 4 gates. So I'm curious about when you use it, are there like what specifically would you say, like, are there specific cases like women's health issues, dysmenorrhea, general
datmenorrhea,
stress?
Dysmenorrhea, datmenorrhea. So I would start this with saying that if people don't know, I'm like, I'm like a hipster when it comes to the acupuncture and the herbs. So I'm gonna dance around the point and make the biggest argument for why not to use it or why I don't use it. And I will say that there is a very regular presentation that I will see, kind of like, we can dumb it down and call it stress. I'm going to include it under that heading of like Shaoyang syndromes, but it's at its root, it will be stuck qi, right? The person, the patient, is showing signs of qi stagnation. I think that it's important that you combine yin points and yang points. I think that I myself just will not do a like purely yin point treatment. And so a lot of the times if I'm needling someone and I want to move liver qi, there's only so many places it can be stuck, right? Like qi stagnation across the system. I'll see it in the gallbladder. I'll see it in the liver. So typically I'll start that off with gallbladder 34, gallbladder 41, and then liver 3 to command the liver. I'm not going to call it the chong. I'm going to call it the liver. And then on the upper part of the body, I'll often see a correlation with the large intestine meridian. So they'll have like maybe the tight elbow from the 10S or this kind of thing. And so just like the gallbladder 34, gallbladder 41 on the bottom, I'll use large intestine 10, large intestine 4, and then throw in Sanjiao 5 because I think that the Sanjiao, its function is going to move the qi as well. So in that point protocol or point prescription, you will see liver 3 and large intestine 4, but I don't know that I might be unknowingly use it for what people think it's useful for.
Yeah, and I think this is something we'll talk about later when we get into the other point pairs I want to talk about. But it's like, I think we were talking about this before with the eight extraordinary vessels, where it's like, sometimes I use those points, but I'm not thinking like, oh, I'm going to open the Chong Mai. I'm more thinking that, oh, Spring right. 4 is really good and Pericardium 6 is really good. I could totally see that. Here, I have a little history of four gates for people who are interested in four gates. If you want to, this has the potential to be really boring. So if you want to throw in some humor or color commentary at any point, go ahead.
I'll throw in color commentary for sure. I have a thing that I want to bitch about later. And so I'm actually going to tell you now and you can edit it out. Okay. So, and this is me freeballing. So you can keep this or you can use this for you. But, you know, contemporarily, we think about the ancient times of acupuncture as if everybody that practiced Chinese medicine was just super smart and did astrology and walked barefoot and knew the herbs and like did all this shit. And then nowadays we think that like, no, they teach this in a classroom, like they teach things in America. And so like 90% of these student acupuncturists are coming out as idiots, right? And then they need their clinical experience to really turn that jade into something beautiful. But I beg to differ. I think there were a lot of dumb people throughout history as well. I'm not constraining my hatred for the contemporary system to only this time period. I think there were lazy people in the past too. And I'm going to start that argument with Ma Dan Ying's Heavenly Star Points. So I don't know if you've prepared that list. That's the list I was Googling. Because that, I don't know, like, I don't know if you've read into it, but that list is like, Ma Dan Ying was a dude, and he was like, look at these 12 points. If you just do them on everybody, it often works out well. So I, like, part of me likes to start with that hatred. But anyways, please.
I mean, I guess that is, so part of it, I think, is like, did we just go throughout different trends throughout Chinese? Like we're looking at 2,000 years of history, and it's like, and I guess there's the same thing. Like when you look at the classics, a lot of people have a lot of reverence for the classics. I'm like, have you actually read the like Chibuo talks about like Chibuo talks about like making tea out of chicken droppings for like poor digestion. Like did you ever do that?
Maybe back when we were all starving.
The Mai Jing has some really crazy shit in it. Like if you want to know if there's a pregnant woman and if you want to know it's going to be a boy or a girl, you wait until she's walking to the latrine and then you call her name suddenly. And it's like if she turns to the right, then it's a girl. But if she turns to the left, then it's a boy. And like liver pathology comes from people who travel west and meet a woman. Like there's some really weird stuff in there. So maybe we shouldn't necessarily have all this reverence for the classics. I think the Ma Dan Yang thing is kind of funny because I think the ode to the heavenly star points, he basically says, like, there are so many stars in the heavens, like just as there are so many points on the body. But it's better to know 11 points really well rather than to know 365 points kind of crappily. And I feel like that is definitely a thing where people come out of school and it's like they know 12 points. It's like four gates, stomach 36. LI-11,
whatever the other ones are,
yin tong. It's like, oh, my yin yang's fucked up, give him yin tong. Anyway, so I did do some research into four gates. So for those who don't know, four gates is the combination of large intestine 4, he gu, large intestine 4, and tai chong, liver 3. One is located on the hand between the first and second metacarpals. The liver 3 is located on the foot between the first and second metatarsals. Which I did want to ask you about, where do you locate liver 3? Because I've seen like a lot of pictures like this where the definition is distal to the junction of the first and second metatarsal. But you see some people who like put it way up into the junction. Whereas like if you look at the illustration from Deadman, he has it more like in the middle of that first metatarsal. I guess where do you need a liver 3?
Okay, so first of all, I really love that they're using imagery for the points. Like, I love that it's like between the thumb and the index finger and between the big toe and the second toe. I just love that shit. Just like Hagu, it seems like you fall into that thing. And this isn't a shit answer. It's like you can find Hagu very easily on people. And I feel like the same is true of Tai Chong. like when you are, I will often put my thumb where liver two is and roll it forward, and you will fall into that valley or you'll feel that effulgence. I don't know. Like I never put it up as high as some, like if these were the bones in the foot, they're up in between them. I don't know that it couldn't be up in there on some people, especially if they're so stressed. But honestly, when I find it, it is more towards in between those two points, in between liver two and then where they're saying it is, like in the meat, in the valley of that thing.
Yeah. And I was going to say, that's even, I looked in Deadman, that's his location note is like start at liver two and then go upward and you fall into a depression. And it is a very noticeable depression.
It's super noticeable. Yeah.
So I think that like there are people who are trying to go like right into that fork in there. And like I've tried that on myself. And it's like, it's super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's a lot of chi there.
When you do it in the other location, you really feel it. You get the dull ache and that sensation.
Yeah.
It's also very diagnostically relevant. I'll see a lot of vegans who that is just like a hollow graveyard of hell.
Oh, yeah.
And it can show you the amount of blood.
Yeah.
And which we wouldn't needle it, kids.
Yeah, and so I think there are things, same thing with like kidney three. Sometimes that area is really hollowed out.
Yeah, tai chi, if your finger's coming out the other side, this is relevant.
Yeah, or like later we'll talk about liver five. It's like I feel like I've seen some people that's like they have a visible depression at liver five. So yeah, I think that's a good point, is it can be used diagnostically. The other thing I would say about liver LI4 is that I will say I prefer to needle it relatively close to the bone. I feel like some people, they like to do this squeeze their thumb thing and find the high point, and they come out into like the middle here, which is actually an extra point. Yeah. So I'd be like, you need to like stay on the large intestine line and actually needle LI4.
Like it seems like that meridian hugs that bone. Lingu, Dabai, like they're all up against that line or up against that bone.
So as you said, these are mirror image points, which I think is really cool. They are both Yuan source points. So LI4 is on the hand between the first and second metacarpals. Liver 3 is on the foot between the first and second metatarsals. And I guess the thing to me, the really interesting thing about this is a lot of times when we use these mirror image points, we're usually using same name channel pairs when we do mirror images. I feel like maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm thinking like stomach 36 and LI10, stomach 36 and LI11. You're using a He Si point on the foot Yangming and a He Si point on the hand Yangming. I really like spleen 9, lung 5. You're using the Si point on the foot Taiyin and the hand Taiyin. And so I think this is really interesting. Like as a mirror image, they're not on the same channel name. It's not foot Jue Yin and hand Jue Yin. It's also crossing yin and yang. You're using one yin point and one yang point. And I feel like in terms of point pairs and mirror image pairs, that just doesn't happen very often. So I think that makes this a very interesting point combination. And I think that's also just says something about how the channels are arranged too, where it's normally you would think that the spleen channel mirrors the lung channel in terms of thumb and toe, and for some reason hand Jue Yin and foot Jue Yin don't. Anyway, so I just thought that was worth pointing out that even though this is a mirror image point, they're not on the same channel name and they're not even constrained to both yin channels or yang channels. So looking at the individual points, LI4 He Gu is the Yuan source point of the large intestine channel. It is one of Ma Dan Yang's 11 heavenly star points. For those who don't know, Ma Dan Yang wrote the Ode to the 11 Heavenly Star Points. It's a short poem where, like we said, it's better to know 11 points really well than 360 points kind of crappily. And He Gu, I think.
I don't know about that.
It was a lot of stuff about the treating headache and things in the face. This is the Gao Wu command point of the face. But in terms of four gates, when we say that four gates is really good for moving qi and blood, kind of the idea here is that LI4 is on the Yangming channel, and the Yangming channel is full of qi and blood. It's abundant in qi of blood. That there are a couple different passages in the Neijing where it talks about different channels have less qi and more blood, or more blood and less qi, but Yangming channel has more qi and more blood. Therefore, by needling the source point, it's very good at moving qi and blood. In fact, it's so good at moving qi and blood that it's contraindicated during pregnancy, that you can I think this is actually a story in the Ode to Elucidate Mysteries, where like two doctors were arguing over whether a woman had a boy or a girl. And so to settle the argument, they needled LI4 and had the baby come out, and then they could see who was correct. Liver 3, Tai Chong, is also a Yuan Source Point. It's the Yuan Source Point on the Liver Channel. This is an honorary Ma Danyang heavenly star point. So when Ma Danyang first wrote his ode to the heavenly stars, he included 11 points, and later one of his students added on a 12th point, which was Tai Chong Liver 3.
Like, why wouldn't it be Liver 3? Why wouldn't he have included that?
Maybe in Ma Danyang's time, people just weren't very stressed. It's because his indications are kind of funny too. That like the one I just remember off the top of my head is for LI. He says LI11 is good for people who have difficulty combing their hair or people with difficulty drawing a bow. And so maybe he was just more concerned about combing your hair and drawing a bow rather
than. Do you think that there could be ancient practitioners that only did acupuncture points that were good for men? You think that? I don't know. Could that be a thing? They're like, I mean, screw all the Menses points. That's not going to win a war.
Somebody wrote a book about that. Was it either Sabine Wilms or Lorraine Wilcox? There's actually a good book about.
I worship them both. So good.
Yeah. So one of them wrote a really good book about. Like insights from a female practitioner. Anyway, so that's definitely a thing. So liver three, the liver governs spreading and draining, or dredging and draining the channel. So liver three, because it's a source point, the name is Great Rushing. That's where a lot of qi moves through. So liver three is widely used to spread liver qi. And so Deadman sums this up by saying, this is an elegant combination. He Gu LI4 on the upper extremity lies in the wide valley between the first and second metacarpals, whilst Tai Chong Liver 3 on the lower extremity lies in the wide valley between the first and second metatarsals. He Gu LI4, the Yuan source point, belongs to Yang Ming channel, which is abundant in qi and blood, whilst Tai Chong Liver 3, the Xu stream and Yuan source point of the liver channel, has the function of spreading the qi. Together, they are able to activate the qi and blood and ensure their free and smooth passage throughout the entire body, which I feel like Chinese medicine just sounds so much better when you use English, when you use the Queen's English.
Right.
So I think that's a very elegant way to summarize it. In the book Applied Channel Theory by Wang Juyi, he says, the four gates are the gates of qi on the Yang Ming channel and the gates of blood on the Jue Yin channel. This pair moves both qi and blood, and although both are source points on the respective channels, they are not used for tonification. Instead, the benefits of using source points in this case is derived from their ability to move qi and blood throughout the body due to the association of the source points with the triple burner, which I think is a very interesting point when we talk about source points, getting back to the Xiao Yang and distributing source qi, this idea. And I think later, we'll talk about this later in the text, it says something about the source points all emerge at the four gates. So I have a slide here called, where did this come from? And is this a real thing? Because this is one of the things about being really nerdy about acupuncture. Post-graduation, as I start to read books and I start to look into things, I start asking questions like, is this a real thing or is this something that was just made up by Westerners? So I think a good example that you mentioned was like Buddha's triangle. Like when you say Buddha's, like that just sounds like it was made up by a white guy. Like it's hard to imagine a Chinese person in the Jin Yuan dynasty being like, oh yeah, I'm going to needle Buddha's triangle, Heart 7, lung 9, pericardium 6. You have anxiety. I'm going to call it Buddha's triangle. So I feel like there are a lot of things that sometimes I hear them and I think this was probably made up by a Westerner. There are even other things that I think that we learn things in school and we just take them for granted. And then somebody asks me, where did this come from? Why do we do it this way? And then I start researching it and I only to realize that this is not a classical thing. This is just something that Machiocha likes to do, and he wrote about it in a book. So there comes to things like opening the eight extraordinary vessels. Why do we needle women on the right and men on the left? It turns out there's nothing classical about that. It's just that's the way Machiocha liked to do it because that's the way his teacher did it. And then he wrote about it in a book, and now that's the way we do it. And so I think there are interesting things like this, like, does liver eight actually tonify yin? Well, classically, no. There's nothing in the classics that says liver eight tonifies yin. All the classical point combinations are for draining dampness in the lower jowl. But maybe you use liver eight to tonify yin all the time, and you're like, I use it and it works, and that's okay. Anyway, four gates. Where did this come from, and is it a real thing? In school, when I first read this, I was very relieved to learn that this is actually a real thing. This wasn't just made up by a Westerner. This comes from the Biao Yo Fu, which is sometimes translated as the Ode to Elucidate Mysteries or the Ode that Reveals the Obscure, which I feel like all these Chinese classics had really cool names. This was written in the Jin Yuan Dynasty, somewhere between 1234 and 1295, different sources vary on the dates. And I'm not sure there's actually a translation of this in English, so I kind of had to rely on my artificial intelligence robot friend who was either finding commentary that was written in English, or I think at some points it was actually – it found the text in Chinese and was translating it for me. But based on what my artificial intelligence robot friend said, this sounds like a really cool book. In the Ode to Elucidate Mysteries, he talked a lot about de qi and getting the arrival qi. And this is where it says, qi arrival is like a fish biting the hook, floating and sinking. Qi not yet arrived is like sitting in a quiet, empty room. A famous saying, if qi arrives quickly, the cure is quick. If qi is slow to arrive, the cause cannot be treated. He talked about the needling methods of going with the channel or against the channel called yin sui to tonify or sedate a point or reinforce. He talks about manipulating the qi by using the direction, and then that was rewritten by the Nanjing. That's another thing we won't go into right now. He also talked about the time-based methods of acupuncture based on how the qi is flowing through the channels at certain times. I'm not sure this is very commonly practiced because like you need an almanac or a computer program to calculate the time of the year and the time of the season, and it will tell you which points to do. But one of the other things that was mentioned is this is probably the first mention of the four gates as acupuncture points. So this is very poetic. He says, he starts talking about how great needling is. So I feel like this could be something that you could hang on your wall. Though only three soon, six fen, which is the standard length of the needle, though only three soon and six fen, it contains marvelous principles. Though as fine as a hair, it threads through the many forks of the channels. It can level the cold and heat of the five zong and regulate the qi and repletion of the six fu. For spasm and contracture and blockage, banish the eight evils to drive them away. Then here's the important point. For chills, fever, and painful obstruction, opening the four gates puts an end to them. So this is probably the first mention of the four gates as acupuncture points. The four gates can mean other things. But I think what's interesting here is in the original indications, he wasn't talking about qi stagnation or people being stressed or liver constraint and emotions. He was talking about heat and cold, han zhi, so heat and cold or fever and chills, and painful obstruction or B syndrome. I think that is interesting to note. The second kind of interesting thing here is he says open the four gates. He never actually says
names
what
the points
the four gates are.
I wonder if there's any other acupuncture points with gate in the name.
So and I feel like this is a very, very Chinese thing that you see, especially like in the classics where like there's stuff in the Nanjing where it's like, oh, the qi gathers at the chest center. And you're like, the chest center is like, that's not the name of a point. And then like a couple hundred years later, people are like, oh yeah, they're totally talking about Ren 15.
Yeah, we're going to name it that.
So I feel like this is a common thing, but I also feel like maybe this is just I want to say kind of a Chinese thing where it's
intentionally vague.
Yeah. And I was gonna say, you did martial yeah. arts. Like, wasn't like, I feel like that was a thing they talk about in martial arts, where it's like the teachings, certainly the ones that they wrote down, were intentionally vague because they didn't want to share too many secrets. You had to be part of the inner circle. Or it's like, there was that movie where it's like, we intentionally taught him wrong as a joke.
This is where you go to your teacher and you're like, bro, the guy had like wind, hot and cold, and I did the four gates, LI4 and liver 3, and nothing happened. They're like, oh, we're talking about the feng meng and qi meng. It's the wrong meng. shining example of this.
But then the other thing I thought about is something I realized as I was going through this is a lot of these classics are called poems. They're called odes or songs. You have the Ode to the 11 Heavenly Star Points, the Song of the Nine Needles, and that a lot of these were like short, almost like mnemonic devices. They were like a song or a poem. They had a certain rhyme and meter that you were supposed to footnotes just memorize them.
Yeah. Footnotes would ruin it.
Yeah. So it was the kind of thing that it's like they made up these rhymes and these songs to help you remember things, but that wasn't your primary source. You were still like talking to a master and you were still apprenticing someone who like interpreted it for you to let you know what it meant. So that's kind of something I thought of as doing this. This is kind of like I was trying to think of like modern English examples of like when we say like in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, or did you ever have that one? Listen, my children, you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere, the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is still alive who remembers. Anyway,
as a patriot, hell yeah, brother.
So I feel like this is a similar thing. Like when you wrote the Ode to Elucidate Mysteries, this was kind of like the schoolhouse rock version of learning Chinese medicine, but you still actually had to have a teacher who taught you who would be like, oh yeah, four gates. This is what we actually mean. But anyway, so the point here is this was – he never actually named the points in the Ode to Elucidate Mysteries. But a couple hundred years later, in the Great Compendium of Acupuncture and Moxibustion, the Junju Dachuan in the Ming Dynasty, there was a commentary on this passage. And there they actually said, oh, the four gates means liver 3 and LI 4. So this is still coming from late 15th century. What does four gates mean? What are we referring to when we say four gates? I ask rhetorically and then just answer. The term four gates has been used in different contexts. So Si Guan actually first appears in the Huangdi Neijing in chapter 1 of the Ling Shu. But there it's like it was clearly not referring to acupuncture points. It was referring to the four gates as the arms and the legs, or maybe more likely the joints. The elbows and the knees were the four gates. So actually the character Guan can mean a couple things, or it's translated in a couple different ways. One is that Guan can mean the bar of a gate, like the bar that closes a gate, or it can mean the gate as a whole. So this is a kind of a funny, contentious thing if you're into Nigel Wiseman terminology, that he is very particular that Guan does not mean gate. It means the bar that you put in there to keep the gate closed. And so it's the same as when you talk about the pulse, the Sun, the Guan, and the Chur. The reason they call that the bar position is because Nigel Weissman insists on translating this as bar.
So like we're locked in Helm's Deep and it's that giant piece of wood.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of thinking about Robin Hood Men in Tights, where they get locked in the room and all the knights come in and they put the bar in there. So this can also mean bar as in to barricade.
Oh.
That's where that word comes from, as in to close or to shut. Guan can also mean a strategic mountain pass, a frontier checkpoint, or a toll house. And this is how like J.R. Worsley, Five Element, people like to use it when they talk about Pericardium 6 is Ne Guan. They translate it as inner frontier pass or inner mountain pass. And Sanjiao 5, Y Guan, is outer frontier pass. It can also mean just a juncture or critical point or a strategic point, or it can also mean a joint in the body, like it said in the Ling Shu. So applying this to the points, we can kind of use a combination of these interpretations that the points are – Guan could refer to the location of the points, that they're in this wide valley. So it's like a mountain pass where the qi is flowing through. Liver 3 means tai chong. It's a great rushing. The passage of qi is flowing through this mountain pass. You can think that like this is like a joint. It's like a gate. Or we could say that these are critical points or strategic points because they're Yuan source points. It's we say that Li4, like we saw in the Wang Juyi interpretation, Li4 is the gate of qi and liver 3 is the gate of blood. Oh, so actually I have this on the slide. The four gates are the gates of qi on the Yangming channel and the gates of blood on the Zhuoyin channel. This pair moves both qi and blood. And I think kind of there's an interesting point about here. Like we said that you said before that you like to combine yin points and yang points. You never want to stick with just one. We kind of said that a lot of the point pairs we use tend to be either on same name channel pairs or at least on yin pairs. A lot of them are mirror images on the same channel. So they're both yin points or both yang points. Or sometimes we use point pairs based on the Sheng cycle and the Ke cycle, like pericardium 7, spleen 3 or something like that. But here we actually have a mix of yin and yang. So we could say this is actually very balanced, where large intestine 4 is a yang point on a yang channel. It's the gate of qi. It's on the hand. It's on the upper body. It's, it has an ascending function that it ascends up into the head, whereas liver 3, it's a yin point. It's on a yin channel. It's about blood. It's about the zhang instead of the fu. It's descending. It can descend or subdue liver yang rising. So it's actually this very elegant, balanced pair of yin and yang rather than just only using yin points or only using yang points or things like that. So this actually makes it sound like a very elegant point pair. I might even be convincing myself that this is actually superior just because it's this balanced nature. It makes me think of Zhong Zhongjing's formulas where he combines tonifying and draining hot and cold, dispersion and holding things in. Just sounds so balanced.
You like don't even have to take the pulse or look at the tongue.
Yeah, I mean, you could just do it on everybody and who wouldn't get better?
I've got 10 other points for you to add to this.
So kind of interesting, like we said, the original functions in the Ode to Elucidate Mysteries was about heat and cold and about B syndrome, painful obstruction. So like arthritic pain, joint pain. In the Wang Juyi book that I just threw on the floor unceremoniously, Wang Juyi says that he lists four major functions of the four gates. They can scatter external wind, extinguish internal wind, tract wind in the 100 joints, and regulate the channels and collaterals. So in terms of scattering external wind, he says by moving qi and blood, wind is directed out of the body. This is most useful with external excess where there's some fever but not significant sweating. But he does point out that in those cases, this pair does not clear heat. So you might want to add something like Du 14, which is a very common wind heat point. So this was a little – I would say initially this was a little bit surprising to me. Have you ever used four gates to release the exterior?
No. I don't know that I would say that you can, but I have not.
Yeah. So I like this sounded kind of weird to me at first. Then I thought about it and to give kind of a generous interpretation, it does kind of make sense where it's like Li4 is very common for releasing the 100%. Exterior, adjusting sweating. So yeah, totally would do that. With liver 3, what I was thinking is one of the formulas I really like for treating common cold is Jia Wei Xiang Susan. And kind of the idea that behind this formula that they were using this for common cold. And instead of using very dramatic formulas like Ma Huang Tong and Gui Zhi Tong, they wanted to use a strategy of if a person isn't like – they're not dying of typhoid fever. They just got the sniffles. They just have a common cold. We don't need these strong diaphoretic herbs. What we need to do is just gently release the exterior with Zitsuye. And then if we regulate the qi, the body will take care of itself. So that's the xiang is xiang fu. So they're like, we're going to release the exterior and then regulate qi. And I may be reaching or grasping for an explanation here, but that kind of makes me think of like, oh, yeah, just we can use Li4 to release the exterior and liver 3 to regulate qi, and then the body will heal itself. Maybe I'm just trying to be too nice.
I'm going to use it now. I love it.
Then it also says his second function is extinguishes internal wind. And this works by moving qi and blood, which again, initially was sounded kind of weird to me. I feel like if you invigorate qi and blood too much, you will actually stir up internal wind.
If there's no blood.
Yeah, liver three does have this action of subduing liver yang and extinguishing wind. So maybe I'm being overdramatic there. But Wang Ji says, areas of the body that have been experiencing blood deficiency leading to twitching, spasms, or other wind signs may thereby be nourished and pacified. And so in these cases, he says you would add spleen six to help with the nourishing of blood. And this is, and I thought this is kind of interesting because he just said in the paragraph before that, that this pair does not tonify. So I'm kind of assuming what this means is that if your circulation is not good, you may have blood, qi and blood stuck in one point, but not going to another point. So it's like a local deficiency. And so then by moving things that moves the blood into the area and helps extinguish the wind. This is a very there's a common saying in Chinese medicine about blood deficiency leading to internal wind, that if there's not enough blood filling the channels, that leaves room for wind to blow. So by helping with the circulation, this could extinguish internal wind. Have you ever used four gates to extinguish internal wind?
Yeah, accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that I was knowingly using four gates, but that combination probably has come up with some of the Parkinson's cases. I like to think of Parkinson's as a mixture of liver pathology and yangming. The way that I'm thinking about that is the bamboo steamer. So the yangming full of qi and blood and the jui yin, those are kind of like yangming is like the most of the yang three. And jui yin is like the most of the yin three. So I can see that I've used that in the past for those, especially with like a normal tremor that somebody has, not just like muscle spasms happening.
Yeah.
In a young, healthy person.
Yeah. Cause I was thinking like even inadvertently this could be used cause it's like liver three is anchoring, can extinguish wind, LI4 really common for pain and spasms and things like that. So I could see even just like thinking of the points individually, you might use these points. He also says it tracks wind in the 100 joints. So this is kind of like first he talked about external wind, like exterior excess, and then he talks about internal wind. Here it sounds like we're talking about B syndrome. This is what was mentioned in the Ode to Elucidate Mysteries. And so I think here when he says this is for pain moving from one area of the body to another, this is like wind predominant B syndrome, where he says especially for chronic arthritic conditions that come and go, or it moves from joint to joint. So you have joint pain in one area, then it goes away, but it comes back in another joint. That's the wind moving around. And it sounds like B syndrome. And then the last one is really interesting. Regulates the channels and collaterals. But here, what he seems to be talking about, not just general regulation, as in the person is stressed and we need to move to qi and blood, but he's saying this is for situations where a patient is not responding normally to acupuncture treatment. And this could be a situation of channel exhaustion or channel confusion due to repeated unsuccessful treatments. And he says this is like a violin out of tune. And so I like this sounds kind of interesting. I think he also says this about stomach 36 LI11, the point pair of using the He Si points on the Yang Ming channel for this channel exhaustion or channel confusion. So I don't know if you've ever done this, but this sounds kind of like somebody went to a crappy acupuncturist and they used way too many points and now their channels don't know what to do. Or the modern interpretation might be this of this might be they went and got dry needling and the dry needling fucked them up. And now we need to like reset their channels before we can.
I think I get accidental referrals from other acupuncturists in town because I'll hear you've seen me in practice. And part of my goal with people is to not see them. So I automatically tell people like, I'll see you once a week in the beginning. And then we're going even further apart as far as we can get. And I'll often tell people it's like, if I keep doing the thing, then your body will rely on me and I want to fix you permanently. And so I'll get people who come in and they're like, well, I got 57 treatments in 6 months from this person and they did the same points every time. And after a while, it just stopped working. So I think that might be an interpretation of that sort of thing. So now I know just let's do the four gates as a hard reset.
Or early in their chapter, he also said stomach 36 LI11, which I might like that point.
Anyway, I love it even more.
First of all, what I was going to say is that sounds very anti-capitalistic of you. I thought you were a capitalist and putting...
I'm a diehard capitalist, but I'm in it for the long run.
But because I feel like the new way to make money is turn everything into a subscription. Even like all my software, subscription-based. You need to start charging a monthly fee for your four gates. The other thing I was thinking
I'm a boomer.
This is my – I just want to buy my video editing software once and use it. I don't need a subscription. Anyway, I was also thinking of this might just be a personal preference, but I prefer to use the least needles as possible. Or I guess really what I mean by this is my needles come in packs of 10, so I feel like a perfect treatment is 10 needles. Maybe I'll keep some sarins on the side to do yin tong, but I feel like that might be also a channel confusion. And it was when people try to chase down every single symptom and they end up using 50 needles. I think this also happens with herbal formulas when somebody gets an herbal formula and they've modified it by adding 50 different herbs because they're trying to treat their spleen qi deficiency with dampness, with underlying kidney yang deficiency, with liver qi stagnation, plus their headaches and their allergy problems, and oh yeah, my knees hurt, let's add in some nyoshi sort of thing. I feel like the same way with acupuncture treatments, I'm a less is more, and that's going to be my argument, is that that it can cause channel confusion, and I refuse to do four gates, so let's not confuse your channels. And I can't remember if I said this or not, but in that channel reset, he again often combines this with spleen six. So I think those are some interesting modern takes on what the four gates are used for. But again, notice here that he didn't ever really say it's like, oh, you're stressed. Maybe we should do four gates to help with your stress.
Why not?
Oh, so he kind of summarizes this by saying, by regulating qi and blood, the four gates adjust yin and yang, deficiency and excess throughout the body. They have function of dispersing external wind, calming internal wind, searching and destroying wind in the 100 joints, and readjusting confusion in the channels and low vessels. That was an article that he wrote in Chinese that was translated by Lorraine Wilcox. She wrote a good 10-page article about the four gates, and I think she had a good conclusion about like this is a really common point pair, so she wanted to discuss it in order to add more nuance. And so maybe hopefully here we're adding more nuance to what the four gates can be used for.
I don't know about that.
Or where we're adding more depravity to what the four gates mean.
The four gates is just the Gonsal of the acupuncture world, Nicholas.
I figured you would say that. That's why I was going to be like, do you actually use it? That's why I threw in the hipster comment in the beginning, because I know how you feel about Gonsal. And then there's also an interesting quote, Miriam Lee, Insights of a Senior Acupuncturist, says four gates are used for complicated cases in which yin and yang symptoms are mixed, such as mental disturbance and drug addiction. So that's kind of the I just thought that would be kind of interesting to see what the classics have to say about four gates, see what some famous modern practitioners have to say about four gates and how they're used. So we can get a little bit more nuance than, oh, it just moves qi and blood. People are stressed. If you have stressed, use four gates. So I guess the question here was after going through all that, are there things like what do you use four gates for in your clinic if you do use them?
I like to think that there are different qis in the body, right? So like back to the meridians have a specific flow from the interior to the exterior, from the exterior to the interior. Then there's the flow between the antique points that would counteract the flow of some of the interior to the exterior, exterior to the interior. Then you've got Zong Qi, Zheng Qi. You've got all these different qis, right? So which qi are we talking about when qi is stagnant? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but that's just what comes up in my head. So I don't know that I have a really good diagnostic method of describing this, how I would find it, but I do. I'm gonna start borrowing my architecture for this argument is the Shaoyang delivering the source qi to the source points, which is another one of those flows. of chi. What if that is the stagnant chi? And what if that chi stagnation is different than generalized liver chi stagnation, Xiaoyaosan liver chi stagnation? When you use the source point of the Yangming and the source point of the Zhuiyin, what if it is just relieving an obstruction from that network and allowing source qi to get back to those points, and then those meridians can kind of dictate what is happening with the six-channel differentiation underneath them? That's, if I had to hallucinate and somebody asked me, like, what do you think Four Gates is doing? That's what I think Four Gates is doing. So for me, that leaves the argument makes me understand the argument of, just like you said with the last person, she said it could be used for mental disturbance. I absolutely think that people with a bad mood could only use large intestine 4 and maybe change their bad mood. You might only be able to use liver 3 and change their bad mood, and changing both might do it. It might be that the large intestine meridian just governs that aspect of the head, and that is something functional. It might be the emotional state of the large intestine meridian, and when you get source qi to come back to it because it was stagnant, then it treats the pathogen. I don't know. Sounds like some hipster shit to me.
Yeah, so I can't remember if I put this in the slides or not, but in that part about the ode to elucidate mysteries, it says that this either came up in that classic or it was said more clearly in the Great Compendium, but it implies that the yuan source points of the six yang channels emerge at these four gate points. And so I guess I'm thinking with your san jiao moving qi to the source points, does that have something to do with that? Or is there something special about these source points in particular that it would help with movement of san jiao qi?
It's like they might govern it. I like to think of that network of the San Jiao to the source points as kind of like your, if you live in a, I don't know how to say this, respect, like a traditional home with a central heating and air system. I like to think as like your vents in your home, the vents you have in your floor, your wall, those are like the San Jiao networks that come to the source point. So I have a vent over here on the floor, and that's kind of like my Li4 point. And if I have a problem with the actual furnace, like a Xiaoyin issue, I might need to use Xiaoyin points. But like, if the flapper on that vent is closed and I'm not getting hot air out of it, maybe just messing with that is what's going to fix it. And it wasn't necessarily the Yangming channel. It was the source point getting to the point, or the source qi getting to the point.
Yeah, I was thinking like sometimes you just have a cat sitting, you're like, it's cold in right here. And it turns out the cat is sitting on your vent and you need to poke them.
External excess of cat, right.
Yeah. Oh, I meant to say this on the last one. It was like, I was thinking about like when I use Four Gates, when I inadvertently use Four Gates and then feel bad about it.
Right.
I'm not, to me, it's not just like you're stressed, I should do Four Gates. I feel like there maybe one of these other point pairs works better. But I will say I've used it a lot when there are symptoms in the head, like headache.
Yeah, like grinding teeth. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I was thinking like, oh, maybe like gallbladder 41, like foot governor of tears, like maybe that would be better. But I think I'm like, when I do that, I'm not necessarily thinking of Four Gates. I'm thinking more of like, I'm going to use Li4 because it's the command point of the head and it's good for the head. And then when I need a liver 3. Yeah. And so then when I needle liver 3, it's like I'm thinking about needling liver 3 towards kidney 1. So it's like Li4 is going up to the head and clearing the head, and then liver 3 threaded to kidney 1 is help anchoring things and bringing things down. So I feel like that would be a case where I would use Four Gates.
The ancient masters in the ethereal abyss are just like, fucking duh. That's what it fucking does, bro.
Yeah. But I will say in other contexts, I might be more likely to use a Xiaoyang pair or, this one pericardium or liver 5 pericardium 6 is one I really like. So that's one we'll talk about.
I love it.
Do you want to take a break before we talk about other pairs, or do you want to jump right into it?
Jump in, baby. I'm good for you. Whatever you want.
So that was the first part of our discussion where we talked about the point combination Four Gates, the history of where it came from, and some of the classical and modern uses of this pair. So just to do a quick review, when we talk about the Four Gates, we're of course talking about the points liver 3 and Li4. In terms of location, these points are mirror images. LI4 is between the first and second metacarpals on the hand, and LIVR3 is between the first and second metatarsals on the foot. In terms of their category, these are both Yuan source points, and because of that, they have an association with the Sanjiao and its function of distributing source qi throughout the entire body. But also, these are just really good moving points. On the one hand, the Yangming channel is full of qi and blood, so LI4 is really good for moving qi and blood and stopping pain. And the liver governs the spreading of qi, so LIVR3 spreads liver qi. And then also, this is a very balanced pair. One is yin and one is yang. One is the gate of blood and one is the gate of qi. In terms of what we see as the documented uses, historically, this pair first shows up in the Ode to Elucidate Mysteries, but there it was used for cold and heat with painful obstruction, or B syndrome. But then, if you read the book Applied Channel Theory by Wang Juyi, he lists four primary functions for this pair, and most of them have to do with wind. So he says this pair can scatter external wind, extinguish internal wind, track wind in the 100 joints, which again is like B syndrome, and regulate the Jing Bu in situations of channel confusion and channel exhaustion. When you look at Miriam Li, she says this pair can be used for complicated cases in which yin and yang symptoms are mixed, such as mental disturbance and drug addiction. So those are some uses for four gates from both classical sources and more modern practitioners. And so maybe if you're accustomed to just using these points for general liver qi stagnation, then maybe some of these applications are new to you or a bit of a surprise to you. For example, when I was in school, I didn't really know that these points had so many applications for various types of wind. So that was something that was new to me. And then I hope that our discussion of these points wasn't too offensive or too pretentious or too condescending. I know that we, or especially Patrick, but we have very particular views about acupuncture points or just Chinese medicine in general. But I do want to emphasize that if you like using these points and your patients like them and you could get good results with them, that's great. Don't let us stop you from using four gates, and don't let two grumpy guys on the internet make you feel bad about it. More kind of the point of this conversation was to highlight the fact that in addition to four gates, there are other point pairs that are also useful for moving qi, and depending on the situation, you may even find them more appropriate than just using four gates on every patient or every time you see liver qi stagnation. Again, it's just more tools for your toolbox. And so that's what we're going to start talking about in the next section, some of the other point pairs that can be used to move liver qi. And so we're going to start with the Zhuiyin point pairs. So when you're ready, go ahead and click the complete and continue button at the bottom of this page, and that will take you to the next section where we continue the conversation with two Zhuiyin point pairs for moving liver qi. We'll see you there.